Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
Invents a gentle realm where the fans unite. Steve Megatron leads us, igniting the night. Talking movies and games, pop culture galore. Altered Geek vibes always leaving us wanting more. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this adventure into geekdom, I am joined by TFG1 Mike.
444. I ain't doing this podcast no more.
At least it's not 404 podcast not found.
Well, I mean, we would have to go back 40 episodes.
There are 500 error codes, though.
Yes, yes, there are.
So we can have fun with that.
Yes.
So in the meantime, we have six interesting news articles to chat and discuss and go on a little tirade about. So stay tuned for that. And if you're tuning in to the podcast, do us a favor and let us know what platform you're subscribing to on. Is it YouTube? Is it Apple? Is it Spotify? I'd be curious to know where the majority of people are coming from. You can let us know on the website post. Be sure that when you're on the website that you select the comments button on the tabs where it says transcription to comments to related posts or whatever. Click on the comments and then scroll down and you'll be able to write your comments on this episode post there. So let us know and we'll look forward to seeing it for the next episode. In the meantime, this one was a pretty huge one that hit last week.
Yeah.
16 billion, B with a B, billion, Apple, Facebook, Google, and other passwords were leaked. So this story was originally published on my birthday.
Yes,
and it was updated on June 22nd. The details of how, you know, this happened is unknown, but it's seeming like it's, as it's evolving, that it was kind of a on purpose massive attack. Infiltration.
Yeah.
Because there was a smaller one on May 23rd where login data totaling 184 million compromised credentials was out. And they thought that that was the largest one.
Right.
And then, of course, we get 16 billion login credentials, including passwords. So if you've used any of those passwords on any device or with that username and password and that email address, probably change a good idea it. To change it. Not to mention, a lot of companies are moving to this thing called passkeys, this passkey technology. So are you familiar with what passkeys are?
I'm starting to get familiar with it, but I wasn't at first. And I mean, the biggest passkey I know is biometrics. Because I use biometrics on my phone, because I use a fingerprint scanner to open my phone. But in general, I've just now been researching and learning about passkeys.
So I've been familiar with them,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't fully understand them. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I knew there were different forms of it. It's basically a passwordless authentication technology.
Yeah,
designed to replace passwords, and it's supposed to be more secure and convenient to log in. Yep. Because, I mean, let's face it, there's people that still use like password 5 or home 11 or, you know, just variations of passwords they've used forever.
Well, and you know, it all goes back to 1995 and hackers. The four most commonly used passwords are love, sex, God, blah, 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 you know. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So a lot of them are like, I mean, we have biometrics like the fingerprint or the facial recognition or a PIN on your mobile device. The private key never leaves the user's device. So like if your Windows PC has it, supposedly it's not hackable. Same thing with your phone or tablet or whatever device you're using this on. Right. So what I don't fully understand is, like, let's say I lose my phone. It breaks, it dies, you know, it mm-hmm. jumps into the river. How do you get into all those if you don't have a password? So that's where I'm, and I have been stuck on this. However, with the last couple of years with data breaches and my SOSH and information getting stolen and, you know, people trying to use my credit to sign up for cell phone things or transfer my phone number to another phone to get all of my data by using the two-factor authentication, because let's face it, if you use text messaging authentication, all they have to do is steal your number and transfer it to another device and they can get in.
Yeah.
So what this allows them to do is kind of do away with that too. I use an authenticator tool like the Google Authenticator or like the Microsoft Authenticator, where it generates a random code, and I use that primarily as my authentication tool. I also use passkeys for things that allow it, because I hate typing in a password, and if I can use my thumbprint, better.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the thing that worries me with some of this too is the facial recognition stuff. All it would take is an AI to take your photo from like your Facebook or something.
True, yeah.
And they could bypass it. However, it would still have to be gained access in front of the camera of the device that you're trying to hack into. So that's not really feasible. Yeah. So anyways, it makes it more resistant to phishing and other online attacks and simplifies the process. I mean, we have the cryptographic keys instead of, you know, passwords, it's pass keys, pair of crypto keys stored on the device. There's a private key and a public key, which Google uses that when you're creating an app, and so does Facebook and things like that. So like I could create an app, attach it to Geekcast Radio, you know, for instance, for the social login.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows the private key to authenticate everything through the back end of Google and the public key to be public facing on the website so people can use it to social login.
Mm.
So it is nicer in that regard. So we also have that. Then there's no password sharing because obviously it's the device. Easier experience. They're saying that once it's synced across devices, you can easily switch between devices and platforms. So I could see where this would benefit connecting your phone to your computer.
Yep.
So you could kind of, it's kind of a multi-authentication system there. Yep. There's a lot of cross-platform capabilities, Windows, iOS, and Android all support it. Mac supports it too, because their laptops, they have the biometrics to log in. Because honestly, I couldn't remember my password when I worked at the last place and I had a Mac. So I used to use that all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just overall, I was doing kind of a deep dive on it after this news came out. And I was like, great. I don't have an Apple account, but I have a Facebook and I have, you know, upteen Google accounts. So I had to go through and start changing everything.
Yeah.
It's not been fun. Some of it I've let Google do its random generation stuff. Some of it I'm like, I'm changing it to something super complex and then using the pass key to replace it. I know Microsoft, Google, and Facebook are all talking about phasing out passwords by the end of the year or by, you know, end of summer, and replacing right. with pass keys so that you're no longer going to be using this archaic stuff, which I hope. Honestly, it does work, because then we can do away with passwords and just makes it less likely people can steal your
information,
your personal data, or your identity.
Yep. Yeah, I've been using the same variations of the same password for the last 20 years. I have 4 different passwords that are all variations of each other that end up being like 8 different passwords that I have memorized, that I basically burn into my brain. And I use those for every single thing that I have online. And recently for specifically, I have an Apple account because I used to use iTunes all the, I used to be an Apple user. I mean, kind of still am, but I'm not really. I used to have, back when iPhone first came out, I had an iPhone 3GS. In 2008, 9, 10, somewhere around there. I forget when exactly, but I've always had iTunes because iTunes was my music player. It was my thing. It was my whatever. When we first started the podcast network, that was how I did our promotions, was, hey, if you're listening to us on iTunes or whatever, or if you're getting our podcasts through iTunes, or even if you're getting our podcasts through geekcastradio.com, go leave us a review on iTunes if you're an Apple user, because we will read the iTunes reviews on the air, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise, whatever it is. And I would check, and I still to this day check and see if we get new iTunes reviews. I don't use iTunes much anymore. The whole purpose of me even saying any of this is literally 3 days ago, I opened iTunes and iTunes is like, hey, guess what? The password that we have for you isn't going to work. You need to change your password. I'm like, oh, crap. So I go through all the variations, and iTunes and Apple are the strictest on changing passwords. You used that password a year ago. You can't use that password. So it's like, oh, crap, I have to change it to something I don't even know, or something I'm not even going to remember. And I'm like, seriously? And then to our back end, thank God for Google Password Manager. I auto-generated a new password for my login to our backend to geekcastradio.com. I'm never going to remember that. So thankfully for Google Password Manager that saves the passwords, because I'm going to remember whatever the auto-generated thing was that I changed it to. And I mean, my passwords are unique to me, and they are so unique to me that no one would ever guess them. Even you wouldn't guess them. You've been my best friend for 17 and a half, almost 18 years. I guarantee you, you would not, and we're not going to do this on air, obviously, but I guarantee you would not guess what my password was before I changed it on geekcastradio.com.
That's all right. Mine's been a variation of my very first password. And it's had things added to it over the years to the point that it's so difficult to remember that I mistype it 90% of the time because I'm not sure which variation I chose to use on a given site.
Exactly.
But they're all very similar. And yeah,
that's so, the problem.
But I mean, And what's funny is, like, when I created my first Hotmail account, that's what it all stems from.
Yep, absolutely.
And I'm like, what should I use? And then I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, I knew immediately exactly.
I was watching something while I was at my dad's, and when I created the account, and that became option one, and the other one became option two.
Yep.
So, yeah.
DBZ over 9,000 exclamation point.
Could be.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's not that.
I know it's not that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, But no, seriously, literally, I'm the same way. When I still have my, I don't check my Hotmail email address that much anymore because my Google email address is my main email. But, it's all this hacking and data breaching and blah, blah, blah. It's like, really, seriously, you're going to put your energy into doing that kind of evil in this world? Really? Like, seriously? Like, you could have taken all of that effort and energy and done something good in this world instead of whatever. But like you said, you know, the whole fingerprint and the and the facial ID and the keys and the drivetrains and the ignitions and the clutches and all the stuff that they're coming up with. And it's going to be interesting doing away with actual passwords. It's going to be an interesting world we live in.
Oh, for sure. It's totally changing anyway, but
well, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it changes.
Yes, absolutely. Next up, we got Night Court, the reboot of Night Court. Melissa Rauch, who is the star of that show, bids farewell to the reboot after doing everything in our power to find another home. So Night Court, I did not know that the reboot ran for 3 seasons.
Oh, I did. I've been watching it.
Oh, I was not watching the whole show. I caught episodes here and there. And then when they announced that Simon Helberg was going to do a guest spot, I was like, huh? Bernadette and Howard coming back together again? Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Well, they had an episode with
Kunar, and they had an episode with Amy, and they, they had an episode with almost everybody. Almost, not everybody, but basically they had several Big Bang reunion episodes. But when they announced that Simon Helberg, aka Howard Wolowitz, was coming back, I was like, oh, really? But I watched it. I watched other episodes just to see what the show, how they were going to, because 84, 85, 86, you weren't even born yet because you were born in June of 86, which it's a few days. We're recording this a few days after Steve's 39th birthday. Yep. So happy birthday. How's the cow?
What cow?
Okay. You and I are going to do a double feature and watch City Slickers because it's an old Billy Crystal joke.
Oh, I'm aware of the movie. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, but it's a joke from the movie. Anyway, good old Norman. But I, as a kid, I remember watching the original Night Court, and I remember Harry, and I remember Bull, and I remember Dan. So when I was watching the reboot, I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I enjoy it, and John Larroquette is still John Larroquette is the character of Dan and everything else. And then they pull the wall, even though his character is not Howard Wolowitz in this, obviously, but they pull Simon in, and I watched all the interviews with the two of them, and I watched all the behind the scenes stuff and everything else. And then I see the scene and I'm like, oh my God. And all of a sudden, nope. Season 3. That's it. Night Court's done. Damn it.
Which sucked.
Yeah. It sucks so much. I'm like,
I genuinely enjoyed it. And I've actually gone back to watch some of the old stuff. Plus they brought Brent Spiner back in.
Yep. Absolutely. Brent was in the original Night Court too. His character. It was so cool. But unfortunately, Night Court is canceled. Speaking of cancellations, can we friggin' figure out who the hell is gonna buy Warner Brothers Discovery already? I'm so sick of hearing about this. Like, somebody fucking buy this thing already. Like, do something. Now, who is it? Sony. Sony is rumored to be considering to buy Warner Brothers Discovery Streaming and Studios. Sony, Disney, blah, 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 blah. Somebody just do something. Disney, put Disney in the fucking hat. Dude, I thought of this today when I was pulling up this story. I thought of this 10 minutes ago. I'm like, can you imagine? Honestly, seriously, I don't think this will ever happen. But if Disney bought Warner Brothers Discovery, we could have Mickey Mouse, Looney Tunes, cartoons all the time, just like in Roger Rabbit.
But Disney, oh, yeah, because Sony plays well with Disney.
What? But point it. Well, no, Sony wouldn't have anything to do with it. If Warner Brothers Discovery was bought by Disney, Sony has shit to do with it, because Warner Brothers Discovery is still its own company currently.
True.
So that's what I'm saying. Instead of Sony getting it, Sony wouldn't have shit. If Disney swooped in and said, if Disney, you know, piled all the tunes onto Dumbo, and Dumbo with his big ass ears swooped in and picked up Warner Brothers Discovery and brought it back to Sleeping Beauty's castle, you'd have Disney and Warner Brothers. You'd have Bugs and Mickey and Goofy and Daffy and Porky and whatever. You'd have Donald and Daffy. Oh my God. Can you, I can only imagine. That piano scene in Roger Rabbit was one thing, but imagine shorts with Donald and Daffy. I obviously, Disney is not going to swoop in and purchase Warner Brothers Discovery. And the Sony rumor is a rumor, but somebody just buy the fucking thing already, please. Get the shit over with.
Netflix.
Oh, shut up. Fine, whatever. I don't care. Somebody buy the shit already.
Come on, Netflix. Let's do it.
Yeah. And then I sent this story to you. Disney Plus just abandoned its best Star Wars show, and I couldn't be happier. Now, I want to call this out because, really quick, before you say your thoughts, this title, to paraphrase the great Qui-Gon Jinn, "The Force Works in Mysterious Ways." This story is written by Klein Felt. I don't know what crazy, I don't know what this person's parents were smoking when they named that person, but okay. This person couldn't be happier that they've abandoned Mandalorian. That's the genesis. That's basically the gist of the article. And he talks about why the Mandalorian getting canceled is a good thing, kind of thing. So why don't you give us your thoughts on this? Because you said you had lots of thoughts about this in our messaging thing earlier.
So when I covered this show with when I covered this show with Hank, there were rumblings that it was going to get canceled anyway, because our Pedro Pascal wanted his face shown. Didn't want to be behind the helmet anymore. And right. Which is partially why we had some episodes where his face was shown, and then we had some episodes where he wasn't in it. And I think that this is their way of, and we kind of talked about it over there on his show, that it's all likely that we're going to see it go to a film, and obviously it is, mm-hmm. to wrap it up. But I don't I honestly don't see it. I see it going well, but I also don't see it going well. I think that it's going to all depend on how well received Pedro is, because he's this current 5 year spans version of everybody else that they just kind of milk. Like, we've had a bunch of years with Chris Pratt. We've had a bunch of years with Doctor Strange. Yeah, my brain's blanking on his name, but
Cumberbatch.
Yes, we had a ton of years of him, and it felt like every one of these guys get shoved down your throat.
Yeah,
and I feel like right now it's Pedro Pascal with The Mandalorian kind of put him on the map, and then he's in The Last of Us, and then in Fantastic Four, and then I feel like he's kind of overrated at this point. Like, I mean, I get he's got talent. I get all of that. Not denying the work the man's done. I think that when they find a cash cow, they kind of milk it.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
And it kind of wears out its welcome. And so I personally don't care. Like, I'm ready for them to move on to somebody else now.
Yeah.
But mostly because the only thing I liked the dude in is The Mandalorian. But then when he started having a hissy fit about it, then I kind of was like, I don't really care about you, dude.
Well, and the reason why we liked him in The Mandalorian is because
it's the character.
It's the character. And you don't, the point of the fucking character, you don't see his fucking face. The point of the character is he's a badass character in Mandalorian armor with a fucking helmet. And I'm sorry, I know you don't like me cursing. I know you don't generally like cursing on the Altered Geek Show. But seriously, like, get the F over it. Not about the cursing, about the whole Mandalorian stuff. Like, I don't, like, outside of him taking his helmet off a couple of times in The Mandalorian, I don't think I've seen him act in anything else without the armor on. I would obviously have to look him up on Wikipedia and look at his filmography to actually confirm that. But seriously, I really don't think I've seen him as an actor in anything else other than the armor. And I'm not saying he can't act. I'm not saying I'm not going to get. I'm very excited to see what happens in Fantastic Four. I'm very curious to see what they do with that movie. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what they do with it. I'm not a huge fan of him. Mm-hmm. But I can also look past that and go, okay, this movie's good. Like, I don't have to like the actor to like the film.
Yeah.
So I'm on that hand, I am looking forward to the work that he's involved with. But in the same token, I'm also ready to see something else take his place.
Yeah. I actually want to compare if I can type in the dark, because I'm kind of in the dark over here. That's not how you spell that. So the next story that we have here is about Mr. Cruz, but I wanted to, since we're talking about Mr. Pascal, I wanted to compare not necessarily their overall careers, because obviously Cruz has a longer career than Pascal does. But what I wanted to do, and they're not showing me what I want to see. Come on, really? You guys are really screwing with me here. anyway, so my point is, like, you made a point earlier about how he's in everything. 2014, 2018, breakthrough and rise to fame. 2015 movie, Blood-Sucking Bastards. Music video for Sia's Fire Meet Gasoline. He was in a bunch of other stuff. He was Maxwell Lord in DC's extended universe film Wonder Woman, 1984. Didn't know he was in that. I forgot he was actually in that. But my point is, like, from 2014, 2015, with his breakthrough and breakout, to going up all the way up until 2027, he has multiple things in multiple years, and most actors have that. But this is going to lead into the next story. You look at Tom Cruise's career. He debuted, his first film was in 1981 with Endless Love. He did Endless Love and Taps in 1981. In 82, he had Losing It. In 83, he had The Outsiders, Risky Business, and All the Right Moves. He took a year off. He didn't do anything in 84. In 85, he had Legend. 86, he had Top Gun and The Color of Money. Took a year off in 87. 88, he had Cocktail and Rain Man. 89 and 90, he had Born on the 4th of July and Days of Thunder. He took 91 off. Had two movies in 92, a movie in 93, a movie in 94, two movies in 96. 96 was Mission Impossible and Jerry Maguire. Mission and Jerry both celebrate 30 years next year. And then he took 3 years off between 96 and 99. My point in saying all of this is that movie stars from when I was a kid compared to now, I don't know what it is. Like, you're saying Pedro's everywhere. Pedro's in our face. It's like they've shoved him directly in our face. And you compare that to how Tom's career was just up to 99. I don't think Tom Cruise, in the films that he did from his debut in 81 to just 1999, I don't feel like all of those films he did in that first decade of his career, I don't think he was shoved in our faces. But
no, and I think it's a difference between Hollywood back then and Hollywood mm-hmm. now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hollywood now, it seems like they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And the only reason, like, I mean, you look at Tom Cruise and or like Eddie Murphy or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do a lot of the similar type stuff, but they do break out with some weird stuff, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, unlike like your Arnold or your Bruce Willis, where they did kind of the same thing through all of their career,
yeah.
you know, occasionally they would do like a family film, but they would, you know, for the most part, they did action. And then, you know, Tom Cruise, for the most part, does action. Yeah. But I also think. I think, too, like a lot of the stuff from the 80s tends to. Live on better now because we're older.
Yeah,
and I get that some of these new films are like this generation's version of some of that. However, I don't feel like a lot of the modern filmmaking has a rewatchability component to it, whereas the stuff back then does. Like, yeah. there are films that even if it was like dark or there were things that happened, I feel like there was more of a rewatch capability to the film, unlike what's coming out now, where it's like, yeah, it was good, but I don't know if I'll ever watch it again.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There have been plenty of films recently that I've covered on Studio 2009 here and there over the last year and a half where I'm like, okay, I watched it, I enjoyed it, it was a good movie, there were things I did and did not like about it, I'm happy I had the experience of watching this movie. However, this is not a movie that I would ever go back and rewatch. Whereas something like Die Hard, something like Look Who's Talking, something like Hudson Hawk, something like, I'm on Bruce Willis's filmography, something like The Color of Night, something like Nobody's Fool, something like The Fifth Element. I could watch The Fifth Element on repeat. I love that fucking movie. The Jackal. I could watch The Jackal on repeat. I love that. Armageddon. Don't even get me started. Because you just don't want to miss a thing. The Story of Us. I love that movie. That movie is awesome. Okay, so you talk about Willis, and you talk about how Willis did other movies other than like the Die Hards and that kind of stuff. You look at his filmography. Out of all of the 80s action stars, like you take the Expendables and you look at all the action stars they put in there, and then you look at Willis and you take a look at his filmography, Die Hard is probably the Die Hard films, the five of them, are probably the biggest action movies outside of like The Fifth Element and the Armageddons and things like that. The Die Hard movies are probably the most action heavy movies he has. Other than like the Oceans movies, which are kind of heist movies. But like the rest of it, it's a mixed bag of various types of films. Whereas you look at someone like Mel Gibson or Arnold, if I pull up Arnold's filmography, I guarantee you 90% of it is action movies.
Oh, for sure. But I guess it kind of just depends on the individual.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
again, I'm not knocking Pedro. I'm just, or Cumberbatch or Pratt. I mean, they're good in moderation. I feel like there's no gap between them. Whereas like you said, like Tom Cruise, he took a year off. He did three films, took a couple of years off, like gave us a break so that when he did come back, we missed him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, back, so when we were growing up as kids in the 80s and 90s, like I can look at, so, and this isn't a knock against the generation now, but our generation, my dad's work ethic, I may not be able to, my dad is a mechanic, my dad works his ass off even now. Even though he's retired, he still works part time. But my dad he's 70 years old. The man has been working since he was 13 years old. He wakes up at 4, 5, 6 a.m., works his ass off until 9 p.m., 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., goes home, sleeps, gets up the next day, and does the same damn thing, kind of thing. And he's been doing that for 50, 60 years of his life. And that's where people always ask me, Mike, how do you have all the energy or all the time or all of this to do all? Like, if people notice, even though I've had some medical issues recently and I haven't been able to edit Studio 2009 a lot lately, but the last, I would say, 2.5 years, I've been going nuts doing Studio 2009 episodes. Because most of Studio 2009 lately has been, I've basically fulfilled my own goddamn dream, because some of those episodes have been daily content. And I know at one point years ago, we had mentioned we had wanted to eventually do daily content with some of the stuff on the network. We wanted to do it with different shows. But anyway, my point is, the generation of films that Tom Cruise, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, Bruce Willis, all these people come from, it's a thing of you work your butt off for the year or 6 months or however long it takes to make the film. The film comes out, you do the promotion, and then you go on to the next film, whatever that next film is. If it comes out in the same year, great, or whatever. And then you take time off or whatever you got to do. And now I think in this current generation, they are trying to work their asses off to do so much to be in the limelight, because the problem now, it's not so much a problem. The status quo now in 2025 is the something that we that the 1985 didn't have. 1985 to 2025, 40 years. Social media.
Oh, for sure.
Everything everywhere. Everybody knows. You didn't know where the hell Tom Cruise lived. You didn't know what the hell the shooting location was of Top Gun 3 or Mission Impossible 10 or whatever. I don't think there's going to be a Mission Impossible 10, but you know what I mean? Like, point is that with social media, you can find anything and everything, and you can see all of the stuff that they're doing, and they want to be able to, and I know from various clips and things, Tom wants to do this for as long as he can. I heard him say this himself. He said, I want to be doing this as long as I physically and possibly can. And that's a great work ethic. The thing is that there's no, like you just said, we don't get a chance to miss, like we don't get a chance to breathe between certain things. We don't get a chance to, we enjoy, like, okay, take Fast X. Fast X came out in 2023. Fast 11 or Fast XI got pushed back to 2026. Okay. That's a 3-year breather. That's fine. That's awesome. That's cool. And we've all known for years that movies usually, if there's going to be a sequel or a next movie in a franchise, usually it's 2 years minimum, sometimes 3, sometimes 4. And that's fine. That's good. That's the way the system is. And that's okay. But I think with Pedro, I think with Pedro specifically, because he was in the Mandalorian and he was in the armor, he didn't get a chance to show the world that he could act outside of just using his voice. So I think maybe that's why he's everywhere. That's why his agents and himself and everybody else in Hollywood is pushing him everywhere and is pushing him in front of us now, because all he did was voice act. I'm not saying he didn't do acting in the suit. I'm not saying he didn't do stunts. What I'm saying is there's a difference in acting in the Mandalorian armor and doing what he did when he was like that one scene. Is it season 2 or season 3? Whenever they're sitting in whatever cantina that they're in, it's him and somebody else. They're sitting in some bar. I forget what season it. The point is, he didn't get a chance to act outside of the armor. And I think that's, to wrap this part up, I think that's the reason why he's everywhere. And honestly, I don't mind it. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I mean, I don't mind it either, because quite honestly, I don't care.
Yeah.
but I mean, at the same time, good for him, I guess. Like, I mean, I just, yeah. I don't care about half the stuff he's in.
Yeah,
but I'm sure somebody does, which mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah, and really quickly before we move on to the other part of the Tom Cruise thing, I had to pull Arnold up. And yeah, most of Arnold things is action. The reason why I had the Tom Cruise filmography up is because the Tom Cruise article, every Tom Cruise movie in development after Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, Top Gun 3. We knew that was going to come. Broadsword, The Gauntlet, Untitled Alejandro Gonzalez something movie, Edge of Tomorrow 2. Do we really need an Edge of Tomorrow 2? Why can't we just have a single movie story? Like, I get it. Some people want a sequel to certain things. There are plenty of things that in the past I've wanted a sequel to. But like, what happened to the single one and done movie? Untitled movie with SpaceX. Oh God. And then the Days of Thunder sequel. And this is the reason why I brought this up. Okay, so let's do some math here, folks. I hate math. This is 2025. It is the 35th anniversary of Days of Thunder this year. I love Days of Thunder. I love the Cole Trickle character. That movie was made at a time when he was still married to Nicole Kidman. I seriously doubt a Days of Thunder sequel would have her character in it, considering they're not together anymore. I don't know how civil or otherwise. I don't know what their relationship or friendship is nowadays. No clue. I don't know what Robert Duvall's up to, who played Harry. I don't know how a sequel for this movie would work. No clue. There is no, like, the bottom of this article says the original Days of Thunder film only has 38% of Rotten Tomatoes. I don't give two shits. Fuck Rotten Tomatoes. Sorry, not sorry. First Top Gun film doesn't have this strong feeling. Not much is known about the Days of Thunder sequel, but it will be exciting to see Tom Cruise behind the wheel of a race car once again. That's all the article says. And I'm sitting here thinking, really? That's it? Like, I want actual news. Like, give me something. Don't just leave me the not off bone. Don't just leave me the bone without the meat. Put some meat on the bone here, folks. If there's something, like, if Tom actually said something or whatever, or if he said, like, oh, well, I'm focusing on Top Gun 3 now, we're going to work on that first, and then Days of Thunder, if it does happen, it'll happen, blah, 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 blah. Like, don't just, oh God, these freaking porn owned one website owns all the news bullshit things. God. And like I said, Days of Thunder, perfect one story beginning, middle, and end film. Does not need a sequel. Doesn't at all. So that's what I got.
That's Mike's tirade.
Yep. Oh, that's one of them. There's going to be another one later.
Oh, joy.
We ain't even finished yet, folks.
Well, we got Happy Gilmore 2.
Yes, we got Happy Gilmore 2 coming. When is that supposed to be here on Netflix?
Release is July 25th.
July 25th. 1 month and 2 days.
So Adam Sandler's back as Happy. Julie Bowen's back as Virginia Vennett. Christopher McDonald's back as Shooter McGavin.
Shooter.
Ben Stiller's back as Hal. Old folks home guy.
Yep.
And then there's Sunny Sandler, which I'm assuming is his daughter, is Vienna Gilmore.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's a bunch of other people that I have no idea who they are because I don't keep up with pop culture. Doug Thompson, Dennis Dugan, he's back in the film. Alan Covert is playing Otto again.
Awesome.
Kevin Nealon's playing Gary Potter again.
Nice.
Kim Whiteley's playing Bessie again. Like, so those are the original, but you've got like Nick Swartzen, you've got other, like, you got some musicians in there and some like fighters and different people. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm not exactly sure how well this is going to be received. But this is probably one of the first Adam Sandler movies that have come out on Netflix that's one that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be PG-13. It's got Adam Sandler, Tim Herlihy.
Yep.
Back as producers and stuff. So I have high hopes for it because it's written by both of those guys who wrote the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So time will tell if it actually resonates with people, considering the last one came out 29 years ago.
Yup. that's right. Next year's 30th anniversary of Happy Gilmore. Holy crap.
Yeah.
We old.
Uh-huh.
We sold. Man, he's got 3 movies coming out this year. Kinda Pregnant, Happy Gilmore 2, and J. Kelly. Jeez. Crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, that's really all I've got. What's your tirade?
Oh, boy. This is me versus Meta. Okay, so Meta owns Facebook and Instagram. They own other things, too, but they own Facebook and Instagram. And on Instagram, you can share to your stories, and it also shares it to your Facebook stories as well. And apparently, Blocky's IDW Megatron decided to fall off my desk, land on my keyboard, and make a bunch of fucking noise. So, when you share a story to your Instagram feed, if you have it set to share to your Facebook feed, it shares to both. Normally, it just, because you usually automatically have the thing set to both, it doesn't give you the option to click off of Facebook share. It just says share to your story. Sure, fine. And usually it'll say, hey, if this is a video, blah, 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 whatever. And usually it'll give you the account and it'll say, hey, it's this account or that account. And it gives the credit to the account of who you're sharing from, right? Okay. Usually if it's a photo, I will like tap it to make sure the account is shown to say, hey, it's coming from this account. So people know, hey, this is this person's blah, 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 blah. Well, some of the more popular mainstream and conglomerate giant companies in this world of ours will decide to bring the band hammer down on you if you share their content. Which one was this? That wasn't it. So from May 8th of this year, change accepted. So I here we go. Disney. I think I've said before on the show, I know I've talked to you about it. I am obsessed with live action Lilo and Stitch. Any funny clips, anything I can see, watch, whatever, I will watch it multiple times. As long as live action Stitch is in it, as long as he's doing whatever mischief live action Stitch will do, I will share multiple times. This must not go away kind of thing. So the scene where he's surfing or whatever. Well, they showed like the inspiration of like, so in the animated film that came out 23 years ago, we know that, you know, he surfs on the surfboard with Nani and Lilo, whatever. Well, the guy that, make sure my volume's down. So this is not, so in the live action one, they actually show the like that scene where Stitch sees the dog. That's how he wants to go surfing himself. So they're showing, so they show him, but the first part of the scene is they show the guy with the dog, okay? And the guy with the dog, and they talk about that in the behind the scenes stuff about how the guy and the dog are really famous. But anyway, Disney's like, oh, well, we're going to come down on you as copyright. Now, this is because it's shared to Facebook. It's not because it's shared to Instagram. And it's like, your content is blocked worldwide because blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting here thinking, and this is how they phrase it. Like, what did I share? I shared something from Tucker Budson. I'm like, it specifically says your video has new copyright updates to review. No, it's not my video. I shared it from an account that I follow. How is it my? What has happened to social media? I am not like, it's not like I'm downloading these videos and re-uploading them. I am directly sharing them from the accounts that posted them, and I'm showing people that they are coming from the accounts that I follow. It's not like I'm not giving credit here. What the fuck, Meta? Get your shit together. And then the one most recently, from June 21st, your video is copyright updates. I shared something from WWE. And then the one from the other day, from June 22nd. I shared the old Despicable Me. What was that? She hit that, the scene where Agnes doesn't get the unicorn, and Gru takes his giant gun and destroys the carnival ride. My point in all of this is that there is something wrong with Instagram and Facebook and Meta in general, to the point of, why am I getting punished for just sharing content that I like when I'm not, like I said, I'm not downloading it and re-uploading it to my account. I am doing what they have said that people can do, which is directly share. And it shows, when I share the stuff, it shows the account it comes from. So how is that copyright infringement? I don't, like, that's not, my brain hurts. These fucking people.
It's, you're dealing with an algorithm.
I know. This is why I hate artificial intelligence. I prefer actual intelligence, thank you.
Well, it's with the rate that the internet's growing, it's hard to manage.
I know. That's because they don't hire humans to actually manage it.
No, the problem is they don't have enough humans and they can't afford more humans, which is why they've resorted to artificial intelligence.
Well, they got to stop doing that shit. But that's it. That's the rant. They're going to punish me because I shared stuff. And it's like, oh, be more social on social media. No, thanks. I'd rather be anti-social on social media, you bastards.
Well, depending on the platform, like Spotify kills half of our shows.
I know.
It actually has removed a good plentiful amount from old M-Wires, Geekcast Radios, studio episodes, anything with a soundtrack.
I know.
They've pulled them down and they're like, well, the only way around that is re-upload them without the music or we take them down. Those are your options. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just go to Geekcast.
So obviously some episodes are missing.
Yep.
From that, except for on our like website or iTunes or YouTube, which they just monetize it. They don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, yes, give us content.
Yes, exactly. We need all your content.
But yeah. Yeah, we don't necessarily have as many of the issues that we used to have with different platforms. Like RSS.com does a great job at a lot of their stuff, and it's not AI ridden. There's some stuff that is, like the transcripts or whatever, but I mean there's a human dev team.
Yes, that's
the and good community thing. Team, and they deeply care.
Yes.
Side note.
Yes, side note.
I am writing a book on podcasting.
Yes, yes, you are.
Which I will sell at some point when it's done. When it's done? I don't know. Time will tell. I'm hoping it should be later this year, though. I'm thinking like fourth quarter this year that I should be done with it. Kind of the goal is to publish it around then.
Man, all the Phillips brothers are writing books these days.
Yeah, well, I'm not writing fiction.
Okay, but fine, whatever. But the point is, between the three of you, all of you are writing books.
I've been wanting to write a book since I was like 15. Yeah. I just was like, it was getting the motivation to actually do so. Mm-hmm. But I've been asked to speak at so many different groups about podcasting in the recent years that I'm like, you know, I should probably write down all of this.
Yes, yes,
you all should. Of my anecdotes, and I'm incorporating all of my articles that I've written and my PowerPoints that I've presented at some of these things. And I've put them together and I'm compiling a book out of that and then adding more to it after I get like all of my structure put together on what I want to cover. And then I'm going to flesh out more of it before I do it. And then I'm not revealing the name of the title because I don't want anybody stealing it. Because we all know that happens in this industry. Absolutely. You know, because people don't do research or they're like Monster and they're like, oh, we're going to steal your podcast name.
You bastards.
Yeah. And the logo and the slogan. You can't tell I'm bitter at all. That'll be a sub note in the book, too. But it's very much a do as I say, not as I do. Or learn from my mistakes kind of situation. And when I say do as I say, not as I do, I mean not as I do from the past.
Yeah, exactly.
Things that I had to learn the hard way along the way as things have gotten more automated. And then let me know if like what items you guys would like in the Geekcast Radio store. I added 6 new items earlier. I added like a Studio 2009 decal. I added a
store.geekcastradio.com right now.
Geeky podcast stickers with a bunch of different logos. Some of them I'll need to put just the I'll need to put a background on some of them. And then I made some GCRN pins, a couple of MWire shirts, and then it's recording time, which is just the microphone from the logo.
Oh, cool.
So just a few new things, nothing monstrous, but I was like, it's been a few weeks. I should put a few things in there. Mugs. Let me know what you want off air, and I will make them.
More mugs.
Okay. I have an Altered Geek mug and a GCRN mug.
Yeah, I know. We need more mugs. Every show needs a mug.
I do like the glass pop can, though.
Yes, every show needs a glass pop can.
Not every show.
Yeah, every major show needs a glass pop can.
And I like the metal can cover, too, but...
Yeah, that's good.
I more so like the glass one, just because it looks neat.
Yeah, it's absolutely cool.
I need to buy the muscle shirt for summer.
Yes, you do.
I forget which mug. Oh, I've got the plain black mug of.
Get the plain black mug of GCRN.
Yeah, that's what I bought.
Yep.
What I might do is make a couple of mugs that are like multi-show. Then I can just turn it if I'm ever on air and just be like. Oh, it's Altered Geek. All no, things Transformers.
Yeah.
Movie we can review.
All right. We need to end this.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So thank you all for listening to this episode of Altered Geek. If you'd like to leave feedback, of course, do it on the website or send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, contact us that way, or you can also leave comments on the episode post on Facebook. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Riding the waves of sci-fi and tech, we'll conquer the cosmos, what the heck? From Batman's shadows to Iron Man's flight, our geeky adventures take off like a kite. In a world where pixels paint the skies, gather round friends, let's amplify our cries. Wolverine's claws sharpen, the battles ignite. Steve's got the insights guiding us right. Altered Geeks here, no limits in sight. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.